Welcome to the 3D Print Entrepreneur Podcast, hosted by Print That Thing, where we help you become a 3D print designer. I'm your host, Jaywall, and today's episode, we're going to be talking to Ed from the Institute of 3D Printing, aka IO3DP. Ed's training platform is for anyone who wants to get perfect and reliable prints every time. They have in-depth training videos on everything from tuning your printer for the first time to advanced training in slicers like Cura, Prusa Slicer, and Simplify 3D. I think you guys are going to love it. And we had a great chat about starting your own 3D print companies, the future of 3D printing, and tips for anyone out there looking to grow their own 3D print businesses. Before we dive into the interview, let's kick it over to a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Print That Thing, an educational platform that helps you become a 3D print designer within 30 days. We provide easy-to-digest lessons that compound so you can learn fast. Sure, you can learn 3D print design on YouTube, but we teach a unique and flexible workflow not found anywhere else. You'll learn by doing, while creating 10 unique designs, giving you a strong foundation to get you 3D printing your own ideas. If you want to unleash your superpower of 3D print design, become a member at ptt.live for designs, courses, and community. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the 3D Print Entrepreneur Podcast. I have a very, very special guest. This is one of my favorite people in the 3D print entrepreneurial space. This is Ed from IO3PD. What's up, Ed? Thanks for joining.
Hey, Jaywall, how's it going? That was a really nice intro.
Yeah, thank you. I've been practicing
some really nice
for you.
About me.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm so excited to have you here. So, Ed, tell everyone if they're not familiar with the Institute of 3D Printing, or just, I kind of really want to know, like, what were you like as a child? And then kind of how did you evolve into the 3D print?
Wow, we get deep.
Let's go. Why not? Yeah, let's go.
So which should I answer first? Should we go back in time?
I'll tell you what. Anything you want.
We'll cover what the Institute is, because then you can make up your mind whether or not you care about
it. Okay, yeah. Oh, yes.
Maybe. So the Institute of 3D Printing was kind of born out of half frustration and half people just asking us, because our old company, Rigid Ink, for those of we helped people out with their printing a lot. Like, that was our service thing, and people are just like, I really need some way of learning 3D printing, you know, in a structured way. Of course, there's loads of places you can learn it,
right?
You
know, there's YouTube, there's
Facebook,
everything,
groups,
yeah.
and YouTube,
right?
And they're all great platforms. But it's very piecemeal. It's quite bitty, So that's what we did. We created a business basically that teaches people how to 3D print in the shortest time frame possible.
Yes, and it's helped me tremendously, because I was like, I'm good. I got it. I figured it out. And then I got into their platform and took a lot of their advanced slicing courses. And now it's like, oh my gosh! Like, I just have so much more knowledge, I guess, that I thought I knew, which I didn't, but I still need to dive in and take the actual 3D printing classes, because I'm more of a designer. I know a lot of people listening to are a lot of designers too, but it's definitely good to know how to talk to the robots, right?
Yeah, it's like coding, but you know, it's skills worth having.
Definitely. Yes. Okay, so what were you like as a child? Were you always like entrepreneurial spirited? Were you like mowing grass and stuff at a little kid, or were you like, what was that like? What was little Ed like?
I was literally, my entire childhood was spent doing two things, was taking stuff apart, like literally, you know, VCR players, just all stuff like that, tape desk players, like anything would just get taken apart immediately. I'd never really make anything useful with it until I was a bit older, in my teens. I used to tinker with electronics then, but as a young kid, I was literally just taking stuff apart. I wanted to know how everything worked.
That's cool.
And then, yeah, so the entrepreneur side, like, yeah, I was literally like mowing lawns.
Oh, really? Yeah, I did that too.
Went around car washing. Me and a friend used to go around with a bucket. And we lived in the village, and we would wash everyone's cars, and it was a pretty good money earner. And then one day we went around to someone's house, and we found out someone else had been washing cars.
Dun, dun, dun. No.
And I was like, so that was like the first lesson in branding and keeping a loyal customer base. So,
yeah, and that retention.
Harsh lesson to learn at about 10 years
definitely.
Old.
Definitely. So how did you get into, like, did you go to school for like engineering or anything like that? Or did you go to college for anything like that?
No, so I nearly went to university, but I managed to escape at the last minute.
I dropped out. That was the smartest decision I ever did halfway through.
I was like, if I go down this route, if I'm being honest with myself, it's just to sort of like meet my or try to meet my parents' expectations.
Right.
And it's like it's not going to work out. So yeah, I've pretty much been in business since I was 16.
That's cool. So what kind of, just, I know you mentioned Rigid Ink. That was one of your other 3D printing businesses, but kind of let the audience know kind of how you got to the education and 3D printing space and mentorship space, like kind of what that journey was.
So yeah, I mean, from the Rigid Ink point, I mean, we did filament for those that know, and if you didn't, then now you do.
Woo!
So we did that. And our main thing really was like, yeah, really good quality filament, but also like, just, you know, teach people how to use it. So through that, we had to build a lot of systems in place to basically try and get as many of people to success as possible. Because you've got an open source printer, you've got different sizes, a different printer, you've got different filaments.
Right.
And really, it almost fell on our shoulders to coach people through the whole process to get decent quality prints, because obviously if they weren't getting decent quality prints, they'd probably think it's the filament.
Yeah, they'd be like, it's the filament's fault.
Yeah, so we had to get really, really good at teaching people, like, yeah, over email, which was a lot of back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, this is a very archaic system.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Institute was kind of born out of necessity, but also people asking us like, can you teach us to 3D print in a more, you know, solid way? So.
Yeah, that's what I love too. It's linear. I'll share a screenshot. If anyone, I know a lot of people are listening, but if anyone's watching, I'll share a screen real quick of kind of what I'm seeing. You can kind of see my progress as becoming a 3D printer. Again, I'm more into design, but we got Ed.
But you already knew what you were doing beforehand, Jason.
Kinda. I'm still not like a great 3D printer. I feel like I'm a badass designer, but like I'm still like, I'll let somebody else 3D print stuff. You know, I still got 5 printers running every day, but like, and thanks to you, I got them all rolling. and they're like almost plug and play, you know. But what was I saying? Anyways, I really want to talk about the slicing courses, because I know a lot of my design students talk about, they want to know more about slicing, and this platform is where you need to go. I mean, they have Cura, Slicer, 3D, and Prusa Slicer, from basic, intermediate to advanced, and definitely, definitely, definitely recommend it. Especially if you think you know, you probably don't really know.
Yeah, because the slicer, it's like the hidden thing. Like, everyone thinks the action happens like tweaking the settings on the printer. It's like, no, like everything happens in the slice after
that
the
G-code
design stage, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get the STL, but
right.
But changing everything, you know, really everything happens in the slices. So it's a huge part, as you know.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you can see at the bottom of my screen. I love that too. That's what I was trying to say, is like, you have the progress bar. So as you go through the membership, you know how much you've done, and you can see I've got all this on the slicer, but I still haven't, I've shied away from the actual 3D printing. I'm intimidated.
We can see you slacking, Jason, only 34% completion.
I know, I got to step it up. I'm going to do it.
I have to send the boys around.
That's great. So, okay. So if someone does have questions, I've never reached out to, like it says, click here, ask an expert. So what happens if I hit that button?
I don't hit that button.
Don't do that.
Bad things happen if you hit that button, James. No, no. So that allows you into our other secret portal, where basically we patch you through to people who really know their stuff, 3D printing. And they've been doing it for years. And they usually, whatever problem you're experiencing on your machine or something in your slicer, you can guarantee that they've experienced it before, or if they haven't, they'll know how to.
They'll try and figure it out. Right. That's cool. All right. Well, I'm going to push the button sometime.
Yeah, do it.
I probably will in the 3D printing spot. Well, what are your favorite aspects just in general of the 3D printing industry, since you've been in kind of two different types of businesses? What is there anything that stands out to you or that you like the most?
Yeah, do you mean just in 3D printing in general?
Yeah, just overall, the entire industry. Like, is there anything that sticks out to you, what you like about it, or why we keep doing what we're doing?
I love the community. So aside from the fact that you can just create almost anything hypothetically, you know, just create it, which is something a lot of people in the industry get over quite quickly, but it's still amazing.
It is.
I'm always surprised by what people are making. It's nuts. But the community, I mean, really, if you think about it, if we rewind a few years ago, you know, the early kit 3D printers like Mendels and stuff like that, like people getting these, you know, they're soldering stuff together because it doesn't work out of the box, far from it.
Right.
So it's like, how many communities do you know or where they're happy to like not just solder stuff together, but then help the 3D printer companies like build the printers, basically.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, obviously, you see what Prusa's done. I mean, they're very open source.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just a fantastic relationship between community and then helping the companies create better printers, really, in that loop.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. I love that. That's me too. Well, where do you think like the future of 3D printing is going, or where do you hope it's going?
Well, I kind of see, that's where I don't really see 3D printing as almost being its own entity.
Ooh,
I see
interesting.
3D printing as just being, it's like the computer or the internet. It's like, you know, it entwines itself in all areas of life, all areas of business, industry, everything. Yeah, it's, you know, there's just not going to be any area where 3D printing isn't relevant. It's like in the future, like every school class will probably have access to a 3D printer, like, you know,
or
geography.
A lab. Yeah.
You know, you'll get something 3D printed out, like the landscape or like art, you know. It's not just going to be, you know, the design, you know, the metal shop, the woodwork side
right, right.
of schooling. It's going to be like, you know, each discipline is going to have some tie back to 3D printing.
Definitely. I think that's what, I feel like that's what MakerBot's doing. They're like, you know how in the, I don't know in the UK, but in America it's like Apple like really took over the education market, you know, like, so when you're young and you're in school, you're always like, I'm on a Mac. So then when you get out, you want a Mac. But I think MakerBot seems to be doing that. They're like taking over the education market or trying to.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Longer term play, but
yeah, long. Well, yeah, with Stratasys, they can, I guess, play the long game.
That's what Fusion are doing as well. Like,
oh, interesting.
You probably don't want to hear dirty words
no,
like this.
No, yeah, you know, no, share.
Because I'm talking, I use the F word.
No, I love all softwares. No, I'm definitely a Blender person, but I'm not like strict Blender. I just want to master Blender first and then go into those. But yeah, no, I love any software, whatever gets the job done. You know.
Yeah. That's good. But I didn't know how sensitive you were to it.
Not at all.
But yeah, Fusion's kind of like taking people on at the early level, like free for education and
right.
ramp up the expenses later. So it's another really smart business model.
Definitely. Definitely. I love Autodesk too. They're just, they're anything I've ever used from them is just incredible. Do you have, did you ever design or have you done designs? I know you got like logos and little pieces, but do you do actual designing or did you at any point?
My designing isn't great. I can kind of do what I need to do to get by, but I've never really identified as a designer. I'm a product guy. I like physical products that solve solutions.
Yeah.
So from that angle, like I can hold a conversation with an engineer, but I'm not going to pretend to be one.
Gotcha. I love it. You said products that solve a problem. Ooh, that's so good. So what advice would you have for anyone listening that's either a 3D printer, you know, they like 3D printing, or anyone who's designing, you know, if they want to make 3D, if they want to like a career in 3D print design or in engineering or anything, or in the 3D printing industry? That's the longest question ever. But any advice for people listening?
So do you mean like a career angle or like,
I guess like things that you wish people
business,
maybe like something like you wish somebody would have told you when you were first starting out with either your first with Rigid Ink or with the new company IO3DP, anything like that sticks out?
So I think to any sort of like freelance people or if they want to go into the industry, because it's still very early days, you've got a lot of people that are very much sort of a similar level skill set. And what I think people would really benefit from doing is specializing in different areas. Because it's hard to do that when you're sort of a freelancer, for example, you just want to take any job.
Right.
Away. And I get that, there's that temptation there. But really, if you look at it from the other side, the business is hiring, you know, if you are going freelance or if you're going employment or even setting up your own business.
Right.
It's so important for people to choose some area and specialize in that and really focus on that. And that's really when you can get so much growth, because then you're seen as the expert in this one area. You know, if you design like architectural models, for example, for architects, and that's your gig, you know, don't try and dilute that with trying to do loads of stuff.
Yeah, I think because Ed also has, I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but he also has like a mentorship program that I'm, and just me in general, are really interested in taking. But we had a call at one point earlier this year. And when I remember one of the main things you said that really stuck with me was like, yeah, Jason, you do a lot, you know, because I was always trying a lot of things. And I've took that advice to heart and been practicing, you know, like really focusing on what do I want to do, you know, is design or the 80-20 principle. Do you ever think of that?
Yeah, all the time.
I mean,
I think everyone's heard of the 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously 80% of your results and actions are driven by 20% of your actions.
So true.
But it's an area that I try to apply in most areas of my life where I can. So it's so important because people just do so many different things that really in hindsight, in retrospect, you didn't need to do.
Right. And that's what it's really. And I've even tried to, because me and Amber are trying to build a company where we can start hiring people. Oh, you guys are hiring, aren't you? Or did y'all fill the video? Is that still open?
Yeah. So we're hiring.
Listen up, folks.
Some content. So yeah, basically we've got a job out at the moment for basically some content creators, like video content creators.
Cool. That
can help create a video content in the library. But yeah.
So in for the actual membership or for like marketing or both?
For the membership.
Cool. So, that's awesome. So yeah, so it'll just keep on growing. That's what we're doing too. That's great. I also tried what I was going to say was we're building, trying to build a business where we can hire people, but to have more life balance. I used to be like a workaholic. I don't know if you've ever experienced that feeling too, where you're just working all the time, especially as entrepreneurs. It feels like we have to kind of, but I've been limiting myself to tracking everything I do and only trying to do a 15-hour work week. And it is mind blowing how much like bullshit I was just doing that didn't really matter. And so do you do anything like that?
That's fantastic. And yeah, that's a really good point. So so here's a thing that I've learned in recent years is where I'm the bottleneck in my business is the bit that's stopping us grow. So I'm trying to remove myself from different areas.
Smart.
And then we run like a flywheel and then we go faster.
Yes.
Stupid old Ed isn't slowing down the business.
Right. That's how I feel too. I'm like, man, I need to get, I love that. That's excellent advice. And it's so hard to swallow that as a human being and just having an ego period, you know, you're like, oh, wow. Yeah. I kind of am like, this could be done or scaled, you know, if we could systemize it or automate it or something.
Yeah. It is an ego thing and it's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's
gotta work on that. Yeah, that's the hardest part. Cause that's what I struggle with right now is like getting my face off of YouTube, which is like YouTube's all about you and personality. But I'm like, I don't know though. I'm like in a 50-50 spot. But anywho,
I don't know. I think you've got a good face for YouTube.
I think you do too. Ed doesn't really do like, you don't do a lot of social media. Let's talk about social media. Cause I love what Ed always says, likes don't make dollars. Or how do you say it?
Yeah, like likes don't pay the bills.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah,
they really exactly. Don't. So you guys are doing mostly like paid advertising type things because y'all don't do like Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or anything like right at the moment, right?
No. So we get a lot of traffic still because we good at doing the SEO and you know, people love our guides and stuff and a lot of our free content and you know, people like that. So that works, but also just paid traffic, paid advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get into that. I feel like I'm not really there yet, but I'm trying to get like at least to like get my offer right, you know, and then get up to at least 10K like revenue and then maybe go into paid advertising. Do you have any advice for people who may want to, they think maybe like they want to grow their Instagram to a million, jillion followers or to like promote their printing business or anything like that? Like what would you, because, you know, you had to kind of have to have capital a little bit to do ads or what do you think?
You do really because it can just be a black hole of money. So
right.
Like you said, you've got to get your offer working first and you know that it converts. And then that way you know that if the ads aren't working, you know it's the ads, not your offer. Because usually it's your offer.
Right, right.
But unfortunately with paid traffic, you've kind of got to have a grand or two to sink into it.
right,
before you expect to see any return.
Gotcha. That's good advice.
It's just like anything in business, really. Like get the education. You know, we invested recently in an advertising sort of mentorship program.
Oh, cool! Awesome.
Facebook ads and YouTube ads and stuff, and just to really learn that. So.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that you're always learning too. That's what I'm like every time I'm like, I'm buying a course, you know, it's like, okay, what can I learn? That's great, dude. So much great advice. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience or listeners before we play a little game?
I don't know. The game sounds interesting.
All right, let's do a game. Okay. So, PLA, or I'll just say two words and then just let me know, you know, whichever word resonates with you. PLA or TPU?
TPU, it's more fun.
Yeah, I like that. And it's strong. And you can say pass too. FDM or SLA?
It's got to be FDM because that's what I know.
3D scan, 3D scan or 3D model?
It's got to be 3D model because you have more control and the scanning's just not quite there yet. Soon.
Not yet, yeah. Soon, soon hopefully. Supports or no supports?
No supports. Hey, supports.
STL or OBJ?
Oh, OBJ.
Oh, superior. Yes. Precision modeling or sculpting?
Precision.
Mm. Prusa slicer or Cura slicer or simplify?
Prusa slicer.
My Mini Factory or Colts 3D? I don't know if that applies.
My Mini Factory, I feel, yeah.
They're in the UK too, aren't they, up there with you?
Yeah, they are. They're down in London.
Oh, cool.
Hours south of here.
2 hours south. Shapeways or 3D hubs or other?
3D hubs, I think.
I haven't really used them since they...
No.
Not lately, but I'll try. Practical design or decorative design?
Oh, practical.
I knew that one. Digital download, or like sell a digital download or sell a print on demand? Yeah, that's a tricky
one.
That's
a tough one. I think both have merits.
Right.
Probably print on demand, I'm slightly leaning towards.
Me too.
But digital downloads are tempting.
Yes. sell a product or take on a client?
Probably take on a client.
Oh, yeah.
I like the transformation, the personal touch, you know?
Yes, the transformation. That's beautiful. Thank you, Ed. And if you want to transform and get perfect prints out of your 3D printer, make sure to check out Ed's platform. I'll put a link in the description below. Where's the best place for them to go? Just io3pd.com?
Yeah. I mean, what we can do is we could put a link in. We don't normally do this, but we could do like a 2-week free trial or something.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
If people are interested,
for the listeners,
then they can sign up and try it out. But
that's cool. Thanks,
no pressure, but
right. That's awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I'll put that link below. Also, want to say if anyone who's listening, definitely get on Ed's mailing list. Your new Friday advice is incredible. So Ed's sending out these incredible business emails. How does somebody get on to get those Friday emails?
That's a great question because we don't actually have a sign-up page.
Oh.
It's just people that have registered for like our online business trainings in the past.
Gotcha.
So that's a good point, actually. We should probably have a page where people can join in. So at the moment, it's kind of like invite only.
Yeah, you got to be VIP.
it's a bit of a tease, isn't it?
So no, not at all. Sorry, I didn't know that.
We'll sort of link where people can put their email and be on that. So
definitely. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to taking your mentorship class. I think it would be fun just to learn a lot from you. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day. What you got going for the rest of the day? Are you done?
Yeah, pretty much done now. It's sort of getting on to like half 4 in the afternoon for here. And,
right. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I appreciate you. Again, like I told you earlier, you were one of the top people I wanted to interview. And so I appreciate you taking the time to do it. And hopefully we'll have you back in another episode.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you dragging me on to your show. It's
anytime, great. Ed. All right, good hanging out. All right, thank y'all so much for listening with us today. Again, thanks to Ed
for meeting with me and just always, it's always a pleasure. Be sure to go over to the Institute of 3D Printing. You can go to their website, io3dp.com, to start getting yourself some perfect prints. I'll also put some links in the description below. And this is the end of season two of the 3D Print Entrepreneur Podcast, brought to you by Print That Thing. Don't worry, we're going to be back with season three shortly. But while you wait for the next episodes, remember to get yourself a Print That Thing membership over at ptt.live so you can start 3D printing your own ideas. I'm Jay Wall, and as always, keep creating.